So God is light, God is fire, God is love, and God is, what was the other one I gave you?
Love. He ain't put love.
Yeah, I got love, that's right.
And four is the number of what? Manifestation. Right? So by these four, are God manifest in the world, right? Or manifest into the world. Four is the number of manifestation. Or it's the number of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four directions. North, south, east, and what? West.
Mm-hmm.
Four is the number of
elements as well.
Four is the number of the elements. Four also is the luminaries. This four is the moon is broken down into four faces. So the thing about it is four is always this manifestation. Four seasons to the year. Are you understand what I'm saying? What's that? Winter, summer, spring, and fall. So here we have God is manifest. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Our God is a consuming fire. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit
and in truth. And then God is what?
Love.
And the thing about it, this is powerful right here. This is powerful right here in the manifestation of that, because we see how God is manifest. What manifests is God? Light, fire, spirit, and love. And that's powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about it is, if God is a spirit, then the thing about it is, you can't see a spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this spirit is invisible, but it's like a what? A fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that fire has the attribute of what? Love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that love what? Brings light. And that's the thing about it is, so when we talk about God creating the world, he was going to create the universe anyway, because the thing about it is, love has to have an object. You understand what I'm saying? It just can't love itself. Love has to have an object. It has to have something to love other than itself. So the thing about it is, when you think about that fire always kindling, full of this love, this spirit, this spirit that is like a fire that has all of this light waiting to manifest itself. That's powerful. It's just sitting there enfolding in itself because it can't wait. That's the thing that's so powerful about God. God can't wait to love you. When we think about this fire, we all think about hell fire when it comes to religious church. But this fire is a fire of what? Love.
No.
It can't wait to boil over on you. It can't wait to steam it. You understand what I'm saying? It can't wait to bring you into life. It can't wait. It's burning up within itself to bring you into the manifestation of his glory. So this spirit that we have here, that is God, is just can't wait. Remember the book of Acts said that they were what? All on one accord, in one place. And the spirit came in there, right? And it sat upon each of them as what? Cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. When you think about the burning bush, what? It was a consuming fire, right? The bush burned but was not what? Consumed. So you have this fire all throughout scripture, you know? And the thing about it is, and that's what God wants to do. He's enfolded within itself. It's his light burning, and he's waiting to do what? Manifest itself. If that's in God, then what's in you? God, have mercy. Huh? Do you have a fire? Huh? A fire of what? Love. Come on here. You have the Spirit of God, definitely, right? Mm-hmm. And that's ready to have what? To show us light. So we see where the light is coming from. The light is coming from the fire.
Gotcha.
Mm.
So
right?
You know,
some
brings
of
light.
And it's not always seen because it's where? In the Spirit.
Spirit.
But it's what? Full of what? Love.
How you link that together?
What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Let me say something. So that's why the day breaks, and that's why it's so powerful in us, because even when God, when this thing, just like Jeremiah said, he said he tried to shut up, but it was just like what?
Fire
shut up in my bones. The thing about it is, I won't go say it, I won't go tell it, you know, we've all been there, but you couldn't help it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to tell it, you had to say something to somebody about it, because the thing about it is, it's all this light, all this manifestation of the spirit of love is wanting to what? Break out of
you.
And that tells you the danger of love. When love is misdirected, when all this fire is misdirected, yeah. when all this light is God, misdirected, it can produce what?
Destruction.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Jesus. Think about those bombers running into those buildings. And then guys shoot before you get ready. You know, that's right. Before they get ready to do these suicide bombers, it's all this misdirected love. All this misdirected
and,
light.
And it's all about their love, they right. think, for Christ.
What is this love mixed with the light? Uh-huh. Love comes from love, the wrong knowledge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The light is equal to knowledge, right?
That's right. They got good intentions.
The light is equal to knowledge. So the thing about it is, if my knowledge is wrong, it's going to misdirect my love.
Mm.
And it's also going to misdirect my fire. And make me come from the wrong spirit.
Spirit.
Jesus.
I'll have the wrong spirit. Come on here. And all this is coming into what? Manifestation. What happened to them? They start running into the buildings. They say, all is great. Be strapped down with bombs. And you be like, honey, where can they do that? And blow up everybody. Because the love is misdirected because of the knowledge.
That's
My people suffer from what? Lack of what? Knowledge. A lack of light will misdirect the love.
Mm-hmm.
Then you mess around and have the wrong love and for the wrong what things. Mm-hmm. And that's going to have fire to it. Because that fire is what gives it its power, its engine. What's driving you? You could go someplace. what's driving you? Because that fire drives the spirit. You see how all these things work together? See, that fire drives the spirit. It's what's giving this engine, this spirit engine. But the thing about it is, what are you loving wrong? What do you have wrong in your knowledge that's causing you?
Gasoline you put on that.
You know? So that tells me that whatever I have light on, or whatever I have knowledge on, or wisdom on, is going to direct my love. Who or what do you love?
That's powerful.
Because whatever you love, that's what you're going to have a fire about.
Good.
That's what's going to power your spirit. That's what's going to be your driving force. If it's just a love of cars, come
that's
on,
you. That's right.
That's wrong.
Somebody close your door hard, you bad. Brand new car you got. you had an accident that dented in. Mm-hmm. You know?
So,
and that's all you have knowledge about. You just love cars. And that's all your love. So that love is going to have a fire just and a spirit that's driving just toward cars. And if somebody hit that car, you're going to have the wrong what? Spirit.
Spirit. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's going to make it fiery hot. Because they touch what you love.
Gotcha.
And that's the only thing you got light on.
And now that is right.
So that kind of goes with that scripture, you know, like the first commandment to love God with all of your heart, your mind, your might. Because, you know, that's going to affect or influence the fire.
That's right.
You know, whatever
that's
you God. Love.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of people, religion, this is what religion is doing. You can love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you can love Him so much, but not be godly.
Break that down.
Yeah, you can love you can love God so much that you're not loving like God.
Right. That's what's happening.
Gotcha.
Huh? The Muslims love God too, but they'll kill you in the heart. But they don't think you're doing what they want you to do. Mm-hmm. We do that over here. We just don't do it with a knife. We do it the worst way. We do it with words.
Mm-hmm.
Girl in the church, you get pregnant. Bring up for the whole church. Tell the whole church. Tell the whole church how much of a sinner you mean. That's just like a beheading.
Yeah.
That's just like a beheading. That's just like you coming up and instead of using a natural sword, use the most dangerous sword you can do. You use her God against her. Come on, here. That's what they did when they brought the woman. Remember the woman that they bought? They called her an adulteress, right?
Uh-huh, that's right.
They said, we caught her in adultery. I think go back
in
to
the
Hebrew.
Act.
It means they caught her in the very act. Mm-hmm. That means that they actually had found a woman that they had been sleeping with and had took her. You understand what I'm saying? Knew who she was going to be with. Got her out. Didn't mess with the man. Got her out because, you know, and got her and then threw her down and brought her to Jesus. And they said, now, you know, what you say do to her? Because she should be stoned. You know, she's called an act of adultery. She should be stoned. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful because what they did is they had so much love for things of God. They loved the law more than they did God. They loved it so much that they were not loving like God. They weren't godly.
See, that brought my attention with the alabaster box, you know.
That's
and they
right.
was, you know, saying, how are you going to let her come and, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just take her hair, you know.
Man, I was
just,
thinking the same thing. Wow.
You
yeah.
know, and
mm-hmm.
we do that, like you just
yep.
sharing right now,
mm-hmm.
same thing.
Yep.
And
that's
he still
right.
had that love and
that's
compassion,
right.
you know.
That's right. He was in Simon's house, and remember, he actually said it under his breath. Like, well, if he's the what man or woman,
yeah.
you know, if he was who he said he was, if
yeah.
he was a man or woman,
yeah.
he was,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
he wouldn't be doing it.
Getting
you know?
In the
yeah,
purple.
What a sight, this woman coming into that place, coming into that building. I mean, coming into that man's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, uncalled for, unseen for. Actually, for a woman to be there, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a woman that they had deemed in her status. Mm-hmm. That's what's so powerful. See, when you jump into the mindset of the scriptures, when you really jump into it, you got to really, when I jump in scriptures, I see her coming into that room
mm-hmm.
by passing all those men, those religious men,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's passing all those religious, you know, to me, they become more than men, they become mindsets,
mm-hmm.
you know. What has made the real you guilty?
Mm-hmm.
What scriptures have you set up in your mind that have brought you more condemnation than life? You know, we have memories. We have certain things that we believe about Christ or about God that we let condemn the real us. So when she's walking in this room, she's more than walking in this room. I see that as us walking into this room. You understand what I'm saying? That we set up so many things that condemn us over so many other things. You understand what I'm saying? And we have these religious little mindsets that pop up in this church. Got the same thing. And, you know, well, if he knew her, then he wouldn't do this. Or if he knew this, wouldn't, you know, do this. Are you understand what I'm saying? Because we got so many things that are in our mind that makes us feel guilty about who we are. Oh, come on here. Or where we have been. Or if I go to do something for God, then I'm condemned by so many other religious things that I've set up in my mind. You know, if I was who I said I was, then I wouldn't. Come on here. Y'all
yes.
know how we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't laugh about this or I wouldn't enjoy this. You know, as a moment you could enjoy, but you stopped enjoying it because you got all
wrong.
Those Simon type thoughts
yeah.
that are in your
uh-huh.
head. Come on here. They sit around and that's what they were doing. They were sitting around and just judging her in the moment behind the scenes. You know, this is going on in Simon's head. And Jesus is reading his thoughts. You know, he don't never say this out loud. He's going over in his mind that if Jesus was who he was supposed to be, he would, you know, if he would have known this woman, then he wouldn't have her doing this.
Yes.
And Christ is trying to bring out a moment is that it's serving a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's preparing me for my burial. You understand what I'm saying here? That's become powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge always does this. It redirects our love.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So many people that are in Christ that are unhappy. So many people that are in church that are unhappy, no joy, no freedom, no liberty.
That's
you know,
and they're not doing it because they want to. They think they're just doing it because that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They're not having that.
What's the scripture say? You shall know the
and it shall.
Truth.
True.
That's powerful.
And it shall make you free. That's what it says. And you shall know the truth, and it shall make you free. That's
and
powerful. The truth will make you free. And what I love about that woman that night is she didn't let that stop her. She kept going towards the truth.
Mm.
She didn't let her. See, that's why I look at it. Don't let your mind, what you think the truth is, stop you. Keep searching for the truth until you find it. She didn't let the stares of the moment of her feeling good stop her from reaching the truth.
Mm.
Yes,
what
are you stopping?
And it's like, you know, I look at it, you know, because that definitely, that knowledge definitely plays a big part, man, with the four manifestation of what God is, man, because I look at it, man, like, that knowledge, man, really has an effect on that light and that fire, that spirit and that love, how you think, you know. I definitely really, I don't know if y'all seen, Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, you know, he was taught one way. He was always taught one way in Harlem, man. Actually being a Muslim. And really down the line in his journey, you know, he wanted to start really seeking, is this the really the truth over there in Israel? That's where he, in the part of the movie, he went to Israel and found that it was totally different over there. And at the same time, you know, I compare that because, you know, we believers, you know, to the point, man, we can be taught for so many years, but we are scared of the truth. But what he did, he went and faced the truth. Right. Even though it was going to hurt him, he faced the truth for what he had been taught for about 20 years and came back with a whole nother mindset, man. You feel what I'm saying? And some of us, it's just to the point, it's like we've been taught this way, but at the same time, man, the truth is there. Mm-hmm. But it's like some of them don't want to face it.
Yeah. And that's so true. Some of them don't want to face it. Because what the truth will actually do, it will unnerve you.
That's it. That's how
it will unhouse you. Yeah. You know, right. So many things that you have been taught. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be forced to unlearn those things.
That's powerful.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I like that scripture. It says, and being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Mm-hmm. It didn't talk about being set free. It talked about being made free. There's a process to being made free. You know, seeking that truth. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people want the product without the process.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? There is a process for attaining that truth. Like you said, the truth will make you free.
That's right.
It will purge away all of the lies, mm-hmm. all of the illusions, all of the things that have been taught.
That's right.
That weren't the truth.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I like about what the scripture says. Any man in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creation, literally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's powerful. The thing about it is that's what we need to be. Mm-hmm. Because to be honest with you, we really don't know who we are.
Right, mm. I believe.
You understand? Well, I say that though too, because we have been made through us. We have so many false images that have been set up by our relatives. It's been set up by the religious establishment. We got so many. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's been so many false things set up in our head that we don't really know who we are.
Mm.
And as soon as we get ready to come out, we start feeling guilty about who we are. Mm. Are you understand what I'm saying? Mm. Because all those little false things that have been set up within us. Who are you really? Mm. You know, after you wash away everything. Because we come into this world, this blank page.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Until everybody else start writing on us. Come on here. And they start writing what we, and that all of a sudden start setting up our building blocks. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know a good one for a long time, that always made us laugh. I laugh about it now. We believed this kid for a long time. You took your mold off, you bleeded there. You took that mold off. Look at that black little mold. Said, man, you took that. If that mold fall off, you will bleed to death. But that was truth to us. Come on here. That's why I like what truth is
the ultimate. You know, truth is
perception is the ultimate reality,
but not the ultimate truth.
Mm.
The thing about it is, for a long time, we thought, boy, if you wash that mold off, you will bleed to death. So you made sure that you looked at that mold. I remember one time I cut myself and looked at the mold come out. I said, God,
Jesus,
I'm gonna bleed to death. Mm-hmm. And that set up in my mind that I'm gonna bleed to death. See, that thought was set up in there, and to me, it was truth. Until I got older.
Break down that perception.
I said, Lord, this mold ain't gonna got nothing to do with falling off or bleeding to death.
Mm.
But I thought that mold healed. I'm bringing it home now.
I thought
that mold, because blood, life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Come on here. Life is in the blood. I thought I would literally lose my life over that small speck on me.
Go ahead, bring it home, brother.
That's
what small speck on you you're scared to lose, thinking you'll lose your whole life over. What are small moles in our life? You understand what I'm saying? That we felt like, and God gonna be through with me.
Yeah.
Or you understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about, all these false. You understand what I'm saying here? What things would I have done, you know?
It also makes you think, what things have shaped your reality?
That's right.
But I'm not true. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I think about when I hear him say, let there be light. Let there be light.
Mm.
Because there are so many places in our life that are form and void.
Mm.
And darkness is upon the face of the deep. I need light in those places.
Thank God for light.
That's
You're right. That's powerful.
I love
that.
Break the day.
That's powerful.
Oh, yes,
that's powerful, man.
Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Let's look at something before we leave out here. Let's look at Jacob. Let's go to a story.
Where we going?
Come look at Jacob.
We're going to look at Jacob.
That's how he said
it. Jacob.
We're going to look at Jacob. We're going to look at that portion. Anybody else got anything to add on to that while we marching on in there? What's one thing that was said up to you that you believe as a child that you found out was untrue?
That's
but
wild.
At the moment, it was a sincere truth to you, but you found out it was false.
I know when the...
Go ahead. You hate to put it on the table. Go ahead.
You remember whenever they had new viruses that come out, you know, especially like when the HIV virus first came out, a lot of people thought that you couldn't even touch nobody that had HIV. Like, if you even looked at them too hard,
yes,
you was going
right.
to get the
virus. Right.
You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
you're right.
That's just, you know, some things that actually shape your reality. Like,
mm-hmm.
you really believe that that's real. Like,
yeah,
I can't touch that person. I
that's
can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they set up in our head that, oh man, you know, you touch them, you're going to get AIDS.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Until they had to put out information.
Exactly. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's powerful.
It's kind of like the early settlers, how they thought that they couldn't travel too far because they actually thought they was going to fall off the earth.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So it was true.
Get to a point where
that's
I could
right.
fall off.
They're looking at the horizon. There's a line out there. Get out there to the end of it. You go.
That's
that what serious, right? You know?
Yes, sir. It's crazy.
Some kids, that Santa Claus. They think that Santa Claus is real. You start
yeah.
lining things up. You know?
Yeah.
I used to come down to the chimney. We ain't got a chimney.
Yeah.
I ain't supposed to get in here. Close your eye. Don't worry about it.
That's a black neighborhood. You
what
coming
myths?
Over here?
What myths have been set up
that's
with that right?
So what?
Because with light, man, you know,
yeah,
comes truth, man, you know. With that light, man, comes truth. And that's why it's
right,
you know, even, you know, to a point of not a person not knowing about God or even know about God, but just to the point is not willing to serve him or whatnot. But now and to the point where God knows where he's going to be. The day that he will serve him, the day, you know, that God already have chosen him, but that when he started to follow the process where God wants him, he now see it different. That
mm-hmm.
light began to, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
become
mm-hmm.
open,
yeah.
and now he be able to see things a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, that truth becomes alive then.
No doubt.
You know, and that's so powerful,
that,
man. That's so powerful.
That goes along with the saying, when you know better, you do better.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
When you know better, you do better.
That's right. That's
so, so it's really saying that you not doing better is completely tied to your knowledge of it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's just like if you got a child
mm-hmm.
and they keep doing the same thing over and over, maybe you need to teach them another way to do it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Or if you do the same, or if you're in class and you continue to get the problem wrong, maybe you need to try it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you know better, you do better.
That's right.
And don't it lines back in with, you know, the scripture, you know, 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved. You know, I line that with, you know, not just according to the word, but with everything that we learn to be able to study to show thyself approved.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, if it's in math, to be able to study inside and out,
mm.
you know, how you got that problem,
mm.
or science, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So you can get the truth
mm.
instead of just a theory or
mm.
what you heard.
That's
right. So that's mm. how I look at it, man.
That's
how I look at that, man.
Yeah.
Mm. That's powerful.
Because the truth can be so elusive.
That's it.
Because mm. it is living. It's alive.
Mm.
It is forever growing.
Mm.
You know, we're forever coming to the knowledge of the truth.
That's
you know,
it.
As we go on, Hosea said, chapter 6 says, as we go on to know the Lord. And that's the thing about it is we can have a relationship with the truth.
Mm.
You know, but the thing about it is if we stop
ooh, that's
growing,
powerful,
if
man.
We stop
just got
to have a relationship with the truth. The thing about it is we won't come into the truth.
Mm.
Okay.
You know, truth can be in that moment. You know, what is the truth in that moment? What is the truth? That, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
yeah. It ain't just what you think you know. It's what God is showing, what God is dispelling at the time,
that's
what
it.
God is lighting upon at the time, you know. And the thing about it is, you know, it's up to us to believe the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. You understand what I'm saying? Gotcha. That's the power of what he's saying at the time. That's what's so powerful when he said that. When you said that earlier, you said we are believers. You know, we're believers. You know, that's powerful. You know, before we were anything called Christians, we were first called believers. Mm-hmm. But is it just that one thing you believe in? Did we believe in Jesus that he died for our sins and that's it?
Some people stop you know, there, but
yeah, they stop.
Or, like, or do you stop believing what that Jesus said about you at the moment? What have you stopped? And at the time you stop believing, are you actually going against your nature of being a believer? Do we get in a moment and stop believing? Do we get in a crisis and stop believing?
That's powerful.
You know, that's
powerful. When you look at it, so being a believer is a continuous process.
I'm on here. That's
what I'm saying. So
that's
therefore, if you cease to believe, then you cease being a believer.
Well, just, I like that.
That's right.
Ooh.
We don't believe that the Lord loves people that are homosexuals and all that. And the church really don't like them. They cast them as outcasts.
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
Like
they don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to have nothing to do with them. They don't put them in a place all by themselves.
Well, just God go to hell.
Yeah. And
God
they, really,
yeah.
They
yeah.
think that, but God loves everyone.
Mm-hmm. They can't work. They can't have health insurance. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just go home and die.
Well, they're animals.
You know. But the thing about it is you're right. But, you know, we're believers, so we have to continuously
to
believe.
And spite all.
That's right. And to we got to continue to believe. And the thing about it is, if we stop that, like Harry said, we cease becoming who we say
who
we are.
Yes.
When we say we are believers,
right.
Believers is believing.
Believe.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe? You believe in God. You believe
that's
in what God is saying at the moment. You
uh-huh.
believe in what God is saying at the time. And versus the circumstances is not, you know,
that's
it's not make me stop believing.
Uh-huh.
You understand
that's
what I'm saying? Man, you know, you can become this. Well, we don't want to believe. Well, you no longer believe. Because believes all things.
Because all things are
see,
possible.
Believe.
And it's
the very nature of who we are.
Believe. Then that's right there. That I really, it is a difference, man. The first person I actually heard really speaking on the believers and Christians was Gary Sigler, man, and how he broke it down, and he was just basically was saying that, you know, the title of a Christian, how man ran with that name, how man ran with that, and that you know, the word Christian has a limited to it, and then he broke it down and said the believers.
Mm.
What he, definitely what he said, the name that we were first given, you know, a believer's a person, a body that believe in Christ, a body, you know, who trust in God, a body that whenever God said move, it move. You feel what I'm saying? No looking back at the book and say, well, this. He said, that's a believer that is all out with God, represent God wherever it is. And I was like, oh,
ooh.
My God. You know, so he was basically saying, don't call me a Christian. You know, he says, I'm not limited with anything, but I am a believer, though.
That's
that was powerful.
That's so powerful, because then you have to think about, a lot of people call themselves a child of God, but you have to think about what are the characteristics of a child of God.
That's right.
What makes you a child of God?
That's it.
You know, the scripture says those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God.
That's right.
So maybe if you stop being led, do you stop being a child?
That's right. That's why some people, if they don't have a church, then they don't have an identity. Because they never really identified with Christ. They never really identified with God. So therefore, they're limited. You understand what I'm saying here? Because the thing about it is, that's right, because their revelation of God starts with only with the next church they join or the next place that they become. But you understand what I'm saying here? They don't know God. They just know the things that are associated with, they think is associated with. That's what's so powerful. A lot of people don't even know what the word Christ means.
You are.
Like Christians don't know what the word Christ means.
That's true.
They don't even know where it comes from.
That's powerful.
You're
like,
you understand what I'm saying? It just some people think it's Jesus' last name. Oh, they call it Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But Christ is a title.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
You know, and that's the powerful thing. But what Gary Snoop was trying to say is it's a title.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? He wants to live us to the title. He wants to bring us into the nature. Title, you know, Christ was a title. It is Christos. It is in the Greek. It is Christos. It's in Hebrew. It is Messiah.
That's right.
Is Rabbi. It's a title that someone had. You know, that's why it's called, a lot of times in Greek it was Christ Jesus, not
that's
Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and the thing about it is, it meant that he was the anointed. He was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And the thing about it is, then Christian means Christ-like. But the thing about it is he wanted us to be Messiah-like. What does that mean? That means that you're to be the savior to someone in a moment.
Oh, my God.
So if you cease being in that sense a savior or a messiah, come on here. You always want to point to the messiah. You don't never want to become a part of.
Oh.
He said, I came that you might be one, that we might be one. Come on here. So the thing about it is that I wanted you to re-represent me. Come on here. I want you to represent, if you really want to get into the nature of it, I want you to be me in a situation. I want you to be religious. I want you to be you and allow me to save someone while you being you and allow me being you because I and you and you and me.
And we are one.
And therefore, you become a savior. You become a messiah.
That's powerful, man. So
don't make anybody go away. Suffer little children coming to me. I told y'all I see things in a whole different light. Yes. I do. When he said suffer little children coming to me, I don't see that as kids. I see that as people who are immature. Come
that's
on,
it.
Man.
That's it.
Suffer them to come to you.
Good.
Be around them. Be amongst them. You know, don't drive them away. You understand what I'm saying? Because they are like children. And except you be like it. You won't even enter the kingdom of God. But what do you mean by you won't enter the kingdom of God? See, we got to break all these religious stones out of the way. You know, because when we say that you know can't enter into the kingdom, then the entry into seeing the kingdom is that you won't continually break through. You won't continuously to see God in every moment that you're in. You won't see where you are. It ain't where you die and go to. It's... Can I break it down?
Don't break it down. Break it down. I'll turn this mic around a little bit.
The thing about it is, have you died to who you are in that moment and enter into the kingdom of God? See, when you die to yourself, you enter into the kingdom. When you die to yourself, in that moment, you see the kingdom. When you stop being who you think you should be, you enter into the kingdom that has been there the whole time. But you can see it because you're continuously in the way. So when you become living sacrifices, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brother, to be what? Living by the mercy of God and to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your what?
Reasonable
service. And be ye transformed. That's why it's a continual thing. It ain't just dying. Come on, here. It's that when you die, when you sacrifice, yourself, you transform your mind. It takes a transformed mind.
That's
it. Oh, come on.
That's how. That's how.
Let's go here. Come
that's
on.
That's why. Nah,
let's
going go in there. Going in
there. Let's go here.
Let's
go here.
That's powerful.
Because what does fire do? It transforms.
Oh,
it takes the substance and transforms. It takes the form. It takes the form of another. Fire don't destroy. Come on.
Just change.
That's
it powerful. Changes. That's right. It chemically breaks down what is there, so it doesn't look like what was there before. When we set fire to this chair, it ain't tearing away the chair.
Come on now.
The chair is still there. It's just that the chair has transformed into
ashes.
It transforms into smoke.
Smoke, come on.
It's broken down to its lowest common denominator by the fire.
That's powerful.
So God is fire. So what happens when I get in God? He transforms me.
Come on now. That's powerful.
Into what is acceptable, to what is reasonable for his good service. So to the world, you look like ashes. But to God, you become what? At rest. You no longer trying to work it out through you. You become acceptable.
That's powerful.
Instead of trying to give him the image or the form that you want to give him, I'll give to the world.
That's powerful. And that's powerful, man. That's powerful because reading on the book of John, man, and one thing he definitely said, man, to be able to decrease myself so Christ can be able to increase in me. So when he said that, I had to stay on that man and dwell, you feel what I'm saying? To the point that he had to move himself out of the way. You feel what I'm saying? So Christ can be able to increase in him. And that's so powerful.
And that's powerful.
That's powerful.
And that goes to me in Romans 6:6 when it talks about the old man is crucified.
That's right.
And I was crucified.
Come on now.
Is crucified. And that denotes a continuous process. You know what I'm saying? Then if you jump down, I think it's 6:8, it says that if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with
him.
We're continually being transformed.
That's powerful. That's
right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's powerful. Right. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. They can only have. See, the thing about that I like about the ashes is it's nothing that man likes.
Come on now.
See, that takes me to a whole nother place. Yeah. That takes me to a whole nother place. Because people like, you don't like ashes. And that's what God said. Oh. He said, I'll give you beauty for ashes.
That's what he said.
See, you, we don't know, look at that scripture, but that's what he said. That's he said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. Now that's powerful.
That's
because
powerful.
The thing about it is, he's saying, when the fire gets something through with you,
and you do
I want that. That's what I want.
Beauty. That's powerful.
And he says, I'll give you beauty for ashes.
If you...
What's the beauty? The beauty is the same thing David said he would behold in the tabernacle. He says, in the beauties of holiness. See, the beauties of holiness. But the beauties of holiness can't come until your mind is transformed. Has nothing to do with the religious connotation of, I don't wear this, I don't go here, I don't do this, I don't do that, that we think is holiness. No, it's everything that your mind is thinking. Everything that you think is me. Once you stop ceasing being you, and you come into that moment, that's what becomes the action, because now you send it through the fire. When you tell somebody, I don't normally give this, but this is what I'm going to give you. Now, you understand what I'm saying here? And it becomes the fire because it's transforming you in that moment. Now, you understand what I'm saying? And the powerful thing is, what situations does God get into that he becomes your fire, that transforms your mind? It gives you a whole new way of thinking about a situation or a thing.
That's powerful.
I transform that mind. That's the power of it. He'll give it to you, that beautiful ashes.
And a lot of times what I do is, when I look at scripture, I look at the fire. Many times can be represented by trials or tribulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? And
that's,
I think that's what Paul was talking about when he talked about his afflictions yielding an eternal weight of glory.
Come on.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
That's so powerful. Sure. And that fire, that circumstance, that trial, that tribulation is temporal.
Yeah.
What it's going to do is it's going to yield an eternal weight of glory. Maybe if I get you out of the way,
that's
it's already temporal.
That's right.
Maybe the spiritual man can shine.
That's right.
Which is
that's
eternal.
Powerful. That's right.
That's powerful.
Because you know what burns up in that moment is your graven image of everything that you thought God wanted you to do at that particular time and that particular moment. And your graven image of what you thought you would be in God.
That's powerful. That's
because
powerful.
We got all these great achievements we're gonna do for God that God that's really just graven images. and you're actually
that's
see
powerful.
Come on here. Can we get into this thing?
Come on now.
Can we get into this thing?
That's
if it's a graven image, then it's a graven God. It's a false God. It's a false image. And if anything that God hated throughout the Old Testament, that's why those things are there, are false gods. And see, what have you took and put God's name on it that becomes a god and you start worshiping? Come on here. Can
that's
we go deep?
Come
yeah.
on, man.
Some folks will leave their kids home while they go to a revival.
Yeah, they sure will.
See,
and they got it
that's
back
become
back
a false god.
Sure see, damn, they got it back.
While you're trying to serve God, you're missing God. Well, I'm going to run to this revival. I got to go here and do this. And the thing about it is, you mad with everybody who coming away is it becomes a devil. So that you can become this great image in God. So you got this great image set up of you being this great bishop. Or you this great prophet. You understand what I'm saying? Or I'm going to be this great entrepreneur, whatever it may be. And that becomes the God that you bring sacrifice to. It's a graven image. And thou shalt have no other graven image. You bring in all these sacrifices, all this tithe and offering and everything else you lay at the feet. Because the thing about it is, you're trying to be something that you have set up in your mind that God wants you to be, instead of just being full of joy, full of peace. That ain't good enough for you. That ain't enough for your mindset, because you set up this graven image and you'll step on anybody's toes or anybody who get in the way becomes your devil to your God.
That's powerful.
Come on here.
That's powerful.
Then what I love about Elijah, what Elijah said, that the earthquake came, but God wanted an earthquake. The fire came, but God wanted in the fire. The wind came. All these big things. You know, the wind blowing. That's a representation of the spirit. The fire, that's a representation of the spirit. The quake, you know what I'm saying? That's a representation of the spirit, because it's moving everything on the earth. All these great moves and everything. But God wanted neither one of them. He was in the what? Not just any voice. He was in the small voice. He brings that adjective in there to let you know that the voice wasn't anything big, but it was something what? Small.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
God ain't in the big voice. He's in the small voice. I want you to hear that to yourself. God ain't in the big voice. He's in the small voice.
What small voice?
Come on here. Mm-hmm. What small voice is everything else trying to drown out? Mm-hmm. Or you have let drown out. You can't hear that small voice. That God is in. Maybe that small voice may be my son Chris.
That's it.
You understand what I'm saying? Maybe my daughter Julie. And they think I'm so crazy. But they be saying some of the most silly stuff. But they say, Daddy, I turn around. What? I want you to look at this or come here. And I go. Because I try to be aware of the small voice of God. See, it's in the small voice for some. It ain't good enough. Yeah. Like, but if T.D. Jakes was on the phone and called me, I hurry up and pick it up. Because that's T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
But if my 4-year-old run around and call me, I can't come. But if Pastor called me,
right,
I'm dropping everything.
Move
the phone.
Move
the phone. Lord, have mercy. But if it's your sister calling you, call you.
And one thing.
That voice is too small. You don't like to hear that.
I ain't got time. I got to go. That's
and definitely one thing, man, that I saw in that, man, definitely, man, like a glimpse, man, that God showed me, man. The reason why that they are missing these things because he's still coming into a form that they cannot, see or recognize. Like the first time when he came, into humanity and how he was so, to the point, he was, he was just so identical to them. And I like when you were saying, like, they couldn't compare if he was wood or gold. You feel what I'm saying? And that was so powerful about it because he is still coming into a form that we cannot recognize. So every time we bypass, that's powerful, baby. That's powerful.
Go ahead,
you tapping into something that's what's so powerful because when he hit this earth, it didn't arrive in no conclave of a moment. It didn't arrive.
Like they want the king.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, my God. It's just hilarious moment that we try to make it in. A lot of times, I love it when I think about it because, do you really step into something when think about it? Because when I think about light, when I think about the light, when I think about the word, when I think about all of that wrapped in the very logic of God, wrapped into the earth, where did it come? It was, who was there that night? Who believed her? You think about that, because even Joseph was ready to walk out on him. The thing about it is that when she carried that thing, nobody was there to see that thing burn but her and Mary. Yes. I mean, but him and Mary. Yes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Here they are in this cave, this holdout cave, and here they are stuck with no place to go. Sometimes that's where light
would come like that.
Sometimes sometimes light will come in a place where there's no place.
That's powerful.
See, that's what I like about the way it says, it's without form or void, and let there be light. You stepped into that thing when he said that, because the light came in a place where there was no place.
Come on now.
Light shined when there was no place for it.
That was powerful.
Right. Are you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
No, man,
have you come to your place in a life where you said there's no place for this? What have you really said there's no place for? Because that may be where light pierces. It may be the birthplace of where you need to start from, when you feel there's no room to the end. That's where light best begins to shine. It just begins to pierce the darkness. It happened in a moment of travail. It's one thing for her to be in labor if she's had children. It's one thing if man had ever broken her ground. But for the first time, a man is not coming from the outside in. A man is being birthed in her from the inside out.
That's
You know this.
It ain't what has gone into you. It's what's coming out of you. That's why the pressure is so great. It's because this veil has never been broke. She was a virgin. Come on here.
That's powerful.
This ground has never been broken. It's never been pierced to. What was in her the whole time, waiting to get out.
Waiting to be birthed.
That's what's so powerful about that moment. How painful that must have been. You understand what I'm saying? The sweat and everything that was going on, the huffing and the puffing and everything else. Nobody there but her and Joe. You see, the screaming and everything went on. That's what light was birthed into. That's what the word, a real knowledge. Knowledge came in the moment of travail. The night of travail. The Messiah came while things were dark outside. That's what it's come down to. That's what's so powerful about it.
Jesus.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Oh, man, I'm trying to...
And that kind of goes with the order of things like you was talking about. How, you know, God will always command light to shine out of
darkness.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I feel like sometimes it may be imperative for you to get in a situation, us to get in a situation that it appears to be no lighting. Because that may be the very spot that God is going to command light to shine out.
That's it.
No
that's
room
it.
In the end.
That's it, my dude.
It's powerful, man.
No room in the end.
So I think the scripture, I forgot how it goes. Pain or sorrow, something like that, may endure for a night, but joy.
Joy comes in the morning. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just powerful.
That's right. That's
the,
right.
That's the order of things.
No room. No room. That's what he was birthed in. No room. The heavens of heavens can't contain him. But in the end, there's no room for him.
That's powerful.
And that, and that,
that's powerful, man.
The paradox of that.
It goes to what you were saying, you know, about the small voice. You know, many, many big, enormous, gigantic things start from meager beginnings, from being small. You have, you know, a man that, like you said, the heavens of the heavens cannot contain him, but he entered into earth as an infant, as a baby, something small. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, sometimes the small things in the life are going to lead up to bigger things. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's crazy.
That's something, man. Because it goes back, definitely like Harry was saying, man, it goes back even from the beginning, you know, how everything was in darkness. And by Christ being born in that cave, man, with nothing but darkness. And he is that... And, as he was born there, that's that main light. That's the main source. That main light, it gives life, you know. And I look at it like that, man. Just to the point, man. By God being that main light, you know, the Bible says that even darkness can't even comprehend it, you know, through the darkness. Right. And that was so powerful about it, man. That I can compare that, and how Christ was born, man. One thing you definitely said about Nazareth, when he was born into Nazareth, man, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Come on here.
You know, and that's so powerful, man. You know, so we got to look at ourselves. Could anything good come out of us? Man, that's powerful. That's powerful.
Let's read John 1 and 1. We're ready to get out of here. We didn't get to Jacob. We'll get to Jacob.
In the beginning, the
what I like about that is when you don't feel bad because
it was God.
John,
yes, yes, it tells you right there. Powerful scripture.
John 1 and 1. Y'all got it. Y'all can read it. Read it loud.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead, my brother.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made.
That's a powerful statement.
Powerful.
When you say all things.
All things mean entirely. Yeah.
Come on
here.
That's powerful.
Go ahead.
In Him was life. And the life was the light of men.
So we find the definition for what the light was. When God said, let there be light. The light was the what? The light.
Life.
Life.
See, by parallel, it's giving us a definition that light will bring life.
I tell you,
that's powerful. That's right. In Him was life, and the life was. It's given a definition that life was the light.
That's it.
It's the light of men. That's powerful.
The light in you is the life of Christ.
That's right.
That's right. That gives life.
Not your words. Come on here. All that's mixed in. Go ahead.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not.
Where does it shine? In darkness.
In darkness. And the darkness comprehended not.
So if the light is life, then the darkness is death.
Mm.
So we could say that in that, that the life shineth, or the life liveth in darkness, in death. It brings that life.
Yeah.
That don't supposed to be light in darkness.
That's fine.
Go ahead. Light, the light shining in darkness. That's what it was supposed to do. That's the purpose of it. The purpose of it is shining in darkness. We ready to go with this.
Okay.
Well, you can stop right there.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you can stop right. Well, I tell you what. Let's read on.
Down to, There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
Come on, yeah, that's powerful.
He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which light of every man that cometh into the world. That speaks for it all. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not.
That's one of the most powerful.
That's powerful.
That's powerful. That's not right.
And he came unto his own, and his own received them not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Come on here.
When we're born.
Which were born.
Which were born. Not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
It's powerful. Go some places with
this. That's powerful.
That's, I love that whole that whole chapter, man. Yeah. It's powerful.
So in the beginning was the Word. And that's on a parallel step, grammar. Because each one gets more powerful than the other. And the thing about it is that when God said, let there be light, he is the Word. The Word is what said, let there be light. The Word was light. The Word was life. So it said what it was.
That's powerful.
Let there be me.
That's right.
You're not well.
And there was him.